Sexual confidence is one of the pillars to your overall sexual happiness.
Your sexual confidence is not about sex. It's about your authenticity. Your power comes from liking and accepting yourself.
In this episode of the Sensational Sex Podcast, we give our best ideas for you to love your body exactly the way it is.
I give my theory on why women over 40 are more comfortable in her skin. This time of her life can be her sexual awakening.
We'll talk about what to do if you have imposter syndrome and you don't believe that you could be sexy or desirable.
Welcome to the Sensational Sex Podcast, where we help women in long-term relationships thrive after the honeymoon stage is over. Are you a woman who wants a deep, intimate, and satisfying connection with her partner? Of course you do. Amy Rowan and Dr. Trina Reed have the answers, and all you have to do is join us each week. Soon, you'll be that woman who effortlessly has a satisfying sex life. Follow us on social media at Sensational Sex Podcast. Share this episode, leave a review, and thank you for subscribing. Now, let's start the show.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
We are thrilled to partner with XSENS, who are all about making your sensual experience the best it can be.
Why not try an aromatherapy massage at home? We'll tell you about XSENS' amazing selection of luxurious crystal massage oils halfway through our podcast.
We love what XSENS is doing for your sensual and sexual experience.
Check them out at XSENS-USA.com. That's XSENS-USA.com. And now, back to the show.
Hello, beautiful people. Thank you for listening to the Sensational Sex Podcast. We're happy for you to come along on this ride.
Even though your sex life will never be perfect, you can create the sex life that is perfect for you. And we are here to help you with that.
Yes, we are. Trina, did you know that October 20th is Love Your Body Day?
That's amazing. And in honor of Loving Your Body Day, here's a joke about something that made women's body image a whole lot worse. Are you ready?
Oh, no. Okay.
Why did Ken and Barbie never have a baby?
Oh, I don't know.
Because Ken came in a different box.
Oh, my gosh. Well, yes, I guess that would make conception very difficult.
Barbie, I'm sorry to say this to you. You've also done a lot of damage to our body-loving image.
The new Barbie movie, I don't know if you saw it. It was really fantastic. New messages for all the girls and young women out there, which is wonderful.
It is wonderful. And it's about time. My best tip for a person to love their body, you're going to roll your eyes when you hear this, is to say thank you to each body part and how they help you each day. You look in the mirror and you say thank you to your legs because they help you walk each day. I've had cellulite on the back of my leg since I've been 11 years old, probably before I was 11 years old. And I've always hated my legs, and I can't look in the mirror at the cellulite on the back of my legs. When I look at my legs in terms of what happens if I couldn't walk, suddenly the cellulite on the back of my legs is pretty insignificant. When you look at your body in the way that it's helping you, it's taking you through this life, things that you might not like about your body a lot of times become pretty insignificant.
That goes along with an exercise that I do with a lot of my clients, the mirror exercise, which sounds a lot like what you're talking about. You know, another really wonderful tip that I heard was from Pearl Noir. She was in both of my summits, and I loved this one. She talked about writing love messages to yourself on your body. We had a very intense moment where we talked about how I had a double mastectomy, how I really had to come to terms with, you know, obviously losing part of my body and the way things look very different now. Writing love messages on that part of my body that, especially after the surgery several years ago, it took me a long time to really start to love that part of myself again and embrace that part of myself and know that I'm alive because of the decisions that I made and the losses that I had to have. And I'm grateful for that gratitude, even when you do have to lose something that seems so important, because, but things are okay. And you can still love yourself through that.
Remember a few years back on Twitter, women who had mastectomies would get tattoos over their mastectomy, and that was like a badge of honor. They were warriors. They took their situation, and instead of being a victim, they turned themselves into these warrior women. It was so empowering.
I've had some friends who've done those, and I chose to get nipple tattoos. I don't have nipples anymore, but I chose to get the very realistic looking nipple tattoos. And for me, that was a complete turning point in how I felt about my body, because it helped me feel whole again. It made me, when I looked in the mirror again, I didn't see all the scars anymore. I saw a body that I recognized more. It was different. It was obviously very different, but I recognized more. And so that was very, very powerful for me. But I've known a lot of women who've done that, and it's been just super empowering for them. So I fully embrace whatever choice a woman wants to make there.
What you're saying resonates with a lot of women. Thank you for sharing that.
What we are talking about today is sexual confidence, and loving your body is an enormous part of sexual confidence.
It is. We'll get into 5 ways that you can tap into your sexual confidence that you can use today at the end of this podcast.
Sexual confidence is truly one of the pillars of your sexual happiness. It doesn't come from a partner validating you. In fact, if you focus too much on your partner, it's a distraction, and that will actually erode your sexual self-confidence.
When we think about where do you get your confidence from, it's other people giving you compliments, it's other people noticing you. It might surprise you that the core truth about sexual confidence is it's not about sex at all. It's about authenticity and your power coming from liking and accepting yourself.
That makes a lot of sense to me, Trina. How authentic and vulnerable you can be, that is your sexual confidence, and that is going to directly affect your ability to feel sexual satisfaction. What is sexual confidence? It's the confidence that you bring into sexual situations, and knowing you're desirable and what you bring into a sexual encounter. You're relaxed, you're able to really experience things fully because you aren't self-conscious. You don't obsess about rejection or a failure. You don't worry about the way your face looks or if you're in a weird position or if your thighs are jiggly, all of those things.
Who doesn't want that? I'm going to stop us right here so the listeners can do a check-in to see if they're rejecting this notion.
So many of us think that being free and easy about our sexual experience is for someone else, but not for me. You think that sounds great, but I don't even know how I could not worry about the way that I look in bed, or if I'm making weird noises, or if I'm being too loud or not loud enough, or do I sound like a cat in heat? All of these things that go through our head.
This can be you. I want you to take a step back right now and just check in to see if you're having some resistance to this idea that this actually can be you. Sexual confidence isn't just for those lucky few people. It is for everybody.
And so if you understand the theory, but I really have no clue how to be able to embrace that myself. I don't understand how to get this. We are going to walk you through that on this podcast.
For a lot of women, this is a brand new concept that she could be this way. I think when we look on Instagram, we see all these Instagram people who have the it factor. And we think those are the people who naturally have the sexual self-confidence. Do you think there's something to having imposter syndrome?
I have yet to meet a single person who does not have imposter syndrome. The people who say they don't have it are probably lying to themselves, frankly. I have imposter syndrome. I was the hot mess mom. I'm still the hot mess mom. People, Amy, you are so organized. You have no idea. I see these young moms and their hair is done and they've got their nice eyelashes and they've got their makeup. They're walking down with the stroller. I was never like that, ever. I think people think that with sex as well, right? They look at a couple, they look at a woman, they're like, oh my gosh, she must have the best sex life. She's so confident. But, you know, I will tell you, I have worked with clients that are 5'10", 110 pounds wet, absolutely stunningly gorgeous. They have the exact same concerns and hangups, and sometimes even more so.
I think the first step in having sexual confidence is just believing that it could be you. And, mm-hmm. you know, it is possible. I can be that person who feels sexy and sexual and sensual. That's a bit of a mind shift for a lot of women to say, hey, you know what? I can be this way. Amy, let's start at the start. Sexual confidence is having a positive mindset. If you aren't sure what a positive sexual mindset is, you can listen to our episode number 3 because we cover it pretty well. Why is sexual positive mindset a key to your sexual confidence? Because chances are any negative attitudes you have towards your sexuality, which we would call your negative mindset, directly affects your confidence.
So how does that work? Any negative attitudes can create resentment, anxiety, guilt, shame about your current sexual situation. These negative feelings that you're experiencing are going to impact your mental health and the way that you feel about your relationship and how connected you feel.
There are so many things that can have a positive or negative impact on your sexual confidence. For example, after you have a baby and your body changes and everything in your life changes and you're just trying to scramble and figure out how this is all going to fit together, that completely knocks their confidence down. And also when you're going through menopause and you're on this hormone roller coaster and your libido flatlines and all this stuff is happening to you, and you don't know from one day to the next what it's going to be, that also really knocks your sexual self-confidence.
I think what's really important that you're highlighting here, sexual confidence is also a journey. There's going to be times that we're feeling more confident. There's going to be times that confidence is going to be shaken, if not completely and totally destroyed, and you've got to rebuild it from the ground back up. And then you may rebuild it, and then it may tank again, you know, or you're going through these different ebbs and flows. And I think acknowledging that there's no perfect destination. There's never going to be this time that you're going to be the perfect sexually confident woman all the time. And that's okay. It's something to continue to work at. And if you're feeling shaken, if something has happened, whether it's having a baby or going through menopause or perimenopause or having a double mastectomy or any number of different
things. Or going through a divorce or going through a major life change. These are all things, they're directly affecting your ability to feel confident.
I'm a mid-40s woman now. Something does happen when women hit that 40-year-old plus mark, and I'm definitely in the thick of this personally.
You're there.
But sexual confidence isn't about sex appeal per se. Rather, it's about the extremely valuable wisdom and experience that comes.
Many women I've spoken to over the years would agree that when we're younger, they were more inclined to let other people define their sense of self. Women who know their bodies better, know what turns them on, report enjoying sex more. They're more confident that their interactions are going to be successful. The key for me was I started to care less about what other people were thinking about me. That was the turning point when I just stopped caring about what other people thought about me. It was just such a freedom that you just don't have when you're in your 20s and your 30s.
Yeah. Interesting, because it was almost like this light switch. I hit 40 and it was just kind of like,
it's like a mist descends on you.
Yeah.
And
you're like, oh wait, you
caring.
Don't like me? That's on you. Cool. I don't like you either. Bye. It's very freeing. And for me, did translate into the bedroom. I was diagnosed with stage 0 breast cancer at age 38, right before I turned 39, actually. All of that happened simultaneously. That was sort of an interesting shift in many different ways. You know what? I don't really care. I am who I am. I've been like this now for 40 plus years. And take it or leave it. This is me. And I like that stage.
Do you know what my biggest revelation was when I turned 40? That my husband found me really attractive. And that's all that mattered. I don't know why that was such a big shift for me, but it was huge. I've got a big bum and I've got cellulite on the back of my thighs. And I'm small chested. All these things I don't like about myself, but my husband thinks I'm the best. And that's all that matters.
If we could only view ourselves the same way that the people that love us the most view us, why can't we see ourselves through that same lens? That's that sexual confidence, being able to turn that around and say, he loves that big bum. He loves that small chest. He loves that cellulite. And you know what? I need to love those things too, because it's me and that's just who I am. We need to turn that loving lens on ourselves.
I wish we could bottle it and sell it, because we'd be rich right now.
Yes, we would. One of our listeners, Lucy, is 42. And she said, if I took the confidence that I have now and the body that I had in my 20s or 30s, I would be unstoppable. But would I trade what I now understand about myself, my body, and sex just to have my body back? No way.
When Lucy was younger, her fear of rejection and insecurity caused her to be a people pleaser. Anybody else a people pleaser? I'm a people pleaser.
Right here.
And now she... Yeah, and now she knows better. She knows it's not selfish to please herself.
And Lucy goes on to say, if I had the confidence at 23 that I have now, I would have had a lot more fun. I would have spent less time worrying about what a guy thought and enjoyed myself more. Can I get an amen?
Amen. I have a theory about being over 40 and one of the reasons why we don't care so much. I don't know where I remember hearing this. As women age, we generate less oxytocin. Because we are producing less oxytocin, we don't feel the need to nurture and care for other people. We then are able to start caring for ourselves.
Really?
It makes a lot of sense, but I don't know if that's true.
If you're looking back in the childbearing years where there's just so much mothering, nurturing going on for many women, not all women, but for many women, there's less of that, and that allows us to nurture ourselves more. That's fascinating, actually.
I should look it up. Yeah. It's a little tidbit that's stuck in my head for all these years. I don't know where it came from.
Do women need to wait until you're in your 40s? Of course not. It's about learning how to ask for the sex that you want and lean into the sex that you asked for. And if you feel this is selfish, then please listen to episode 6, where we unpack the word selfish and we turn that into self-full.
Love the word self-full. Amy, it's time to get into our sex IQ.
And now a word from our sponsor.
Everyone loves a good massage, and an aromatherapy massage combines gentle massage and inhaling aromatic essential oils that create a soothing and calming effect on your body and your mind. So sometimes massage can be about relaxing, and sometimes it can be about being sensual. Make sure you have XN's crystal massage oils at hand so the application is seamless, making for a relaxed and comfortable experience. And the bonus is XN's massage oils come in a convenient spill-proof bottle. If you've ever given a massage, having a spill-proof bottle is such a smart thing to do.
It's going to knock over on the bed. It is 100% inevitable. Sends amethyst sweet almond crystal massage oil or carnelian apricot crystal massage oil are light, absorbent, and delicately scented. They're perfect for a relaxing, stress-relieving, sensual massage.
So you might be asking what makes XN's massage oils different from other massage oils on the market. Now, do you believe in crystal energy, Amy?
I haven't explored a lot. This might just be the right opportunity to do that.
Well, XN's believes in it, and that's why they've included a stunning amethyst or carnelian crystal in every bottle.
It's said that amethyst will cleanse negative energies and activate your spiritual awareness.
Carnelian will help to restore vitality and motivation, giving courage and promoting positive life choices.
These massage oils also make great body oils. Sometimes taking a minute to take care of yourself Moisturizing your skin with lovely scented oil and luxuriating in the moment is all that you need to get in the mood and to get in touch with your body.
If you're curious to check out the XSENZ products for yourself, go to the XSENZ-USA.com website, use the coupon code SENSATIONAL and get 20% off.
And now back to the show.
Yes, let's do it. You've got a good one for us today.
I think so. Our sex IQ is, are men or women more accepting of a large number of past sexual partners? A, is it men? B, is it women? Or is it C, equal?
I'm going to say that this is men.
Okay.
And the amount of sexual experience that you have could potentially affect how willing people are to date or have sex with you.
For a long-term romantic relationship, people were less willing to get involved with somebody who had zero partners. They considered it a virgin penalty. So someone who had between one and six partners was seen as optimal. Someone who had between seven and eight partners were rated about the same as virgins.
That's so oddly specific, but okay. And beyond eight, the numbers dropped below virgins and kept dropping as the partner count increased. So 15 or more partners and people started expressing some reluctance to get involved. These are very interesting numbers. I do want to interject here because I want to talk about the word virgin. Because okay. I bristle a little bit at that word. It's very problematic. And so I just wanted to unpack that a little bit because the word virgin has held up in religious doctrines and some sort of ideal. The concept of virginity is really, it's a social construct. It's not even like a real thing. No, I just wanted to talk about that a little bit more.
There's so many things that hold women's sexuality down, keep us locked up. And this idea of being a virgin and your purity and, you know, your worth is equated to your virginity, even though the majority of women don't go into their long-term partnerships a virgin, that's still held as an ideal for women to aspire to. And heaven forbid that you have 15 or more partners, because then you're just a slut. Even though women having multiple partners is a lot more accepted now, men are still able to have more partners than women. Although these things are changing, this idea of being a virgin and having multiple sex partners, these are archaic ideas, but they're still held at very high esteem within our society.
I just take a lot of issue with somehow a woman being immediately devalued the instant she's been penetrated with a penis.
I talked to a lot of young ladies who they're technical virgins. So they're having anal sex.
Yes. Sure. And I've heard this.
Technically, their vagina hasn't been penetrated, so technically they're virgins. And I'm like, well, honey, you know, if you're into having anal sex, you're no longer a virgin. It's so important for that woman to stay a technical virgin. The societal pressures within her community that she has to keep her hymen in place and not have multiple partners before she gets married.
And the other struggle, and I've seen this, is you have these young couples who have been waiting, you know, for marriage out of, you know, this ideal, out of this standard. And then they get into a sexual relationship and they really, really struggle. They really struggle with whether it's mindset, whether, you know, there's sort of the Madonna horror complex, which is a whole other thing, or they just struggle with learning how to experience each other. And what is supposed to be a really beautiful time in a new marriage, of like the newlywed phase, becomes fraught with just a lot of pain, resentment, frustration, and it really takes away from that time. Whatever choice that you make is the right choice for you. I'm all about changing the way that we think about things and reframing concepts rather than talking about losing your virginity, which sounds like you're being devalued. It's a woman is having her sexual debut the first time she experiences intercourse. Rather than saying lost virginity or I'm a virgin, we can talk about how you had your sexual debut. And that is when you are embracing your sexuality as a woman. And I love that. I love just that switch.
Yes. And now that you and I are both over 40, we don't care how many sex partners we've had, and we don't care what a future sex partner thinks, how many partners we've had. Speaking of not caring what your partner thinks about how many partners you've had, we're going to get back to sexual confidence. This is the part of our podcast where we put on our sexologist hats and give you concrete and practical tools to help your sexual situation. The question is, Amy, how can someone tap into their sexual self-confidence right now?
We have five ideas for you to think about. So listen to our list and then choose one that you will implement, because follow through equals your success.
This is only going to work if you think, oh, I can do that, and then actually go out and do it. We're behind you. We want you to try one of these. Number one is understanding your sexual desires. So a huge part of developing your sexual confidence is to understand what you enjoy sexually and what you find pleasurable.
Our second idea is you have to name it to claim it. It's not enough to say, I want a sexually fulfilling relationship. Lots of people say that, but you have to know what you like and dislike. And you have to tell your partner. And that may mean exploring your own body to find out what pleases you. And if you aren't sure what this looks like, we are going to be covering this in future episodes.
Third suggestion is to communicate your desires to your partner. So being able to communicate your sexual desires and needs to your partner, as well as listening to their needs and preferences, is going to open a big door to your understanding and appreciation and your vulnerability and your authenticity and all those things that go along with building your sexual confidence.
And if you're feeling negative emotions about sex, such as resentment or guilt or anxiety, it's really important for you to understand why you are feeling these. Understanding and drilling down into why you might be feeling anxious or guilty will help you start to be able to release those emotions. We're going to take a deep dive into the topic of sexual shame in upcoming podcasts.
Our fifth suggestion is to be able to set and enforce sexual boundaries. So sexual confidence involves understanding your limits when it comes to sex, as well as respecting the boundaries of your partner. I agree with all of these concepts, but they're big concepts. Amy, how do you eat an elephant? You eat an elephant one bite at a time. Even though these are big concepts, becoming more sexually confident is a gradual process that often involves many small steps.
The really good news is that by taking these small steps, you can improve your sexual confidence over time and grow into the person that you'd like to become. And it's a self-fulfilling cycle. It's fun. It increases your confidence, which then creates more fun.
Sometimes people feel discouraged that they'll never be that person, that they don't even know where to start or to try. Listen to this list. Think about one thing that piques your interest and you think, maybe I can try this one out. The first one is to understand your sexual desires. So next time you're in sex, I want you to look for something that feels good to you during that sexual experience. Maybe it was how your partner brushed your body. Maybe it was a sound that you made. Maybe it was the close contact with your partner. Whatever it is for you, I want you to intentionally go into the sexual experience, look at what brings out your desire, and just pay attention.
I've had several clients who've said things to me, I don't really know what I like. I'm not really sure. I don't know what I want. And then typically what we do is we actually go back into the most recent pleasurable, positive sexual experience that they've had and get into each little piece of it. And there has never been a time when I've gotten into that with them that they haven't been able to pull out, oh, actually, I remember that I really liked when XYZ. And I'm like, there you go. That's something that you like. That's one thing. And I think the other thing that is important to remember in this is I feel like a lot of people think if someone asks them, what do you want in bed? What do you want? They feel like they need to come up with like a huge fantasy. I want you to put me in a swing and hang me from the rafters and whip my, you know, and it's like, wow. No, it can be something. If that is what you want, then name it and claim it 100%. But it can also be something as simple as, I just really like to grab your butt. I think people get hung up on what they think the other person wants to hear. And just recognizing, oh, I really enjoy grabbing my partner's butt. I'm like, there you go. That's something that you like. That's something to name. Now you know that that's something that's important to you.
So that's a name it and claim it. Something that we talk about almost every episode is communicate your desires to your partner. As you were saying, people think, oh, we have to sit down and have this big, long conversation about sex. It might just be something like you walk up to your partner and you say, I find you really sexy, or I want you to kiss me more, or I want you to kiss my neck here. If you go up to your partner and you say to them, I want you to kiss me right here, or wherever you want them to kiss you, they're going to be so happy. And it's going to be a really positive interaction. Sometimes when we think about communicating about sex, it's about the negative parts of sex, like I'm not enjoying my sex life anymore. Being able to communicate about what you want and your desires, it can just be a tiny little step. And then you did it. Once you communicate, once you say to your partner, you know, kiss me here, not a big deal. I think you could do that right at this moment. Your partner's going to be more than happy to kiss you there. You did it. You celebrate. And that's going to build your confidence.
When you communicate something and they receive it and then they reciprocate and they show you that they heard you and they do the thing you asked for, then that creates a positive feedback loop that will then continue to build. Because then you're like, my partner heard me last time. That's become a more important part of our experience. Okay, well, now it's going to be easier for me to ask for this next thing. Number four idea is to not feel guilty or anxious. If you are experiencing those emotions, look into understanding the why behind them. Why are you feeling guilty or anxious? Is it because of messages you received growing up? Is it because of a past sexual experience? Is it because of negative things that you're saying to yourself? What is the root of those emotions? Because once you have an understanding of where those are coming from, then you can start to disentangle them and pull them apart.
A lot of confidence comes from an awareness. It hits you and you're feeling guilty and then you name it. You're like, this is guilt because you've named it. All of a sudden, it doesn't have the same effect on you, which gives you confidence. Our fifth suggestion is it's going to take some time. This is not instant gratification. For however old you are, for however long you've been on this earth, it's going to take some time to redo all the things that you have learned. Be patient with yourself. This is a marathon, and you are absolutely 100% worth all of this time and effort you're putting into all the small steps, all these small milestones. You know, it can seem like it's a lot, but it's not a lot. It's necessary. And you are so worth it.
You are worth it. You're worth every single bit because you deserve pleasure and happiness and joy in your life. So choose one step that we shared with you today and implement it. On the next podcast, we are going to discuss how to write out your sex history and why that's important.
That's a good one. It might not seem like an important thing, but writing out your sex history is one of those things that can open up so much for your sexuality. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Until next time, stay sexy.
On next week's episode of the Sensational Sex Podcast,
why do you need to write out your sex history?
Understanding your sex history unlocks your past so that you can free your future sexual self.
In this episode of the Sensational Sex Podcast, you'll find out how you can download your free sex history.
We'll uncover why writing your sexual experiences is a powerful way to become more self-aware and intentional, because your best sex happens when you're authentic and vulnerable.
And then you can watch us squirm as Amy and I answer three of the sex history questions. We were surprised by each other's answers, and you might be too.
Are you ready to experience more passion and more pleasure? In my suburban intimacy practice, I offer one-on-one sex and intimacy coaching for women and couples. Book a complimentary discovery call at suburbanintimacy.com or learn more about my Intimacy Ignite program, your solution to experiencing satisfying and fulfilling sexual experiences and connection, even when you're busy, tired, and stressed. Intimacy Ignite is a curated collection of stimulating sex education, activities, and challenges, whether you are single or in a relationship, plus live coaching with me twice a month. Save $10 off your first month with the code PODCAST. You can learn more at intimacyignite.org.
Is more fulfilling sex on your mind, but not in your bedroom? Then go to trinareed.com to get your free copy of the Sex Bootcamp Masterclass. While you're there, check out my award-winning fiction book, The Sex Course, that went to number one in its Amazon category 3 days after launch. Both the Sex Course and Sex Bootcamp Workbook are available in audiobook. If you want to hang with groovy, like-minded, sex-positive women, then join my online courses and the success community. It's your time to create the sex life of your dreams. It all starts at trinareed.com.
Did you love what you learned today? Share this episode with someone who needs it. Friends don't let friends have bad sex. Leave a review for this episode and follow, like, or subscribe on the listening app of your choice. We'd love hearing from our listeners. Email us at sensationalsexpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on all social media platforms at sensationalsxpodcast and join our mailing list at sensationalsexpodcast.com.